Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're going to be talking about cities and urban policy this hour. Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York recently launched his Mayor's Challenge. It's a competition that awards $5 million to the city that comes up with the most innovative and promising idea addressing government efficiency, citizen engagement, or a social or economic challenge. The cash is just seed money. The competition is looking for good ideas that can be replicated all over the country. So this hour we ask, what are the challenges that face modern cities and what can we do to innovate? We have two guests with us, mayors from wonderful cities in the state of Wisconsin, Mayors Jim Schmidt of Green Bay and John Dickert of Racine. Mayor Schmidt, Mayor Dickert, welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio. It should be a rip-roaring great hour. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's start with a question that will go to both of you, Mayor Schmidt. Let's start with you. Why your office decided to enter this Mayor's Challenge? Obviously, you want the money, but you had a goal. You had a plan. You had an idea. What
right.
was it?
We had many ideas as we discussed this. I mean, you look at challenges facing our community as well as engagement from the residents of Green Bay. We came up with a program. One of our challenges is just education, test scores, especially reading test scores, particularly in the fourth grade level. I think we could do better. I've talked about this at State of the City addresses. We also have people who, for whatever reason, go hungry, or the food pantries need better stocking of shelves. So we came up with a program, and it's called Read to Feed. And what that program does, it encourages students to read with an adult mentor to improve test scores while donating canned foods to local food banks. So they get paired up with a mentor in the community, an adult mentor, to read with them. And then the child, we find out what they like, and they get free books. And every book they read, a can of food is donated to one of the food pantries here in Green Bay. And we think this does a number of things. Most importantly, it gets the children to read more, and also the social aspect of donating every book they read, again, at some canned food to our local food pantries, and that will help the society as well.
Isn't that a wonderful idea?
You know what? We like it for a lot of reasons, and we're starting a program right now in Green Bay. It's called GB10, which is Give Back 10, and that's to donate 10 hours of your time. I think some people, and we got great people who live here, but I think some people are a little hesitant to sign up because it can become overwhelming. I mean, all of a sudden you're donating 20 hours a week. I mean, that's a lot of time. And so it's just 10 hours that we ask people to give back, and we're hoping that this reading to children, be it in the park systems or in schools or in the Boys and Girls Club or United Way, Salvation Army, wherever they want to read, we'll pair that up. And these children are going to feel good about giving food back to the local community.
Yes. Reading is so important. I think we underestimate how important it can be to our cities, to our country, to the world, to our lives. It's just if you read a lot, it sounds so simple, but you know so much more. You're
right.
More sophisticated as a citizen, right?
Yes, and Mayor Dickert will attest to this. And we go to conferences, and we as mayors in the and of course we both know Mayor Bloomberg, but we talk about reading scores and test scores and education, and really that's the answer to having a vibrant community. And you can look at these fourth grade test scores, and there's communities that really project their future. You can look at your graduation, high school graduation rates based on your fourth grade reading test scores. You can look at the number of technical schools you'll need, the number of college classrooms you'll need. There are communities that even use this to predict the number of prison beds you're going to need based on fourth grade reading test scores. So we just really need to engage these kids at an early age to enjoy reading. They're going to learn more. They're going to do better personally, but it's going to be much better for society if these kids can have adequate reading scores in the fourth grade level.
Same question to you, Mayor Dickert. What is the goal for Racine, and what was your idea?
Well, first of all, I want to commend, I want to commend Mayor Schmidt. He's doing a great job up in Green Bay, and we all understand the needs for education and boosting education. We just finished up, actually, the Racine Reads program in Racine, where we, a small city of our size, just read 1.8 million books in K through 5. And in tandem with Johnson Wax and a big program that we did here, we're so excited. We were trying to read a million books a year, and we actually almost doubled that. But our program here in Racine is we utilized what we call a Racine Beach Pathway. And what it is we have one of the best beaches in the country, if not one of the best beaches in the world, North Beach. And we've committed to making sure that that beach is not only cleaned every day and groomed every day, but that the water is clean enough so people can swim there every day. And oddly enough, that's something that you can't do on all of our beaches in Wisconsin. So we saw this, and as we were looking at the, you know, the 300-foot or over 100 yards that you have to get to the beachfront, I said to myself one day that, you know, how are you going to get down to this beach if you're handicapped? Well, a lot of people put in hard pathways like, you know, wood walkways or cement walkways. Well, because of the way that we clean our beach and because of the fact that our water is that clean, we have to clean it every day and groom it every day, that was simply not a possibility. So what we decided to do was we figured out a mat that we put down, we grade it, and we put down this recycled plastic mat that we purchased. It's called a mobile mat. And it goes all the way out to the beach, and then there at the end of the beach by the water, there's a T intersection. So people can go take a wheelchair all the way down from our parking lot to the beachfront, where they can then sit there with their family and enjoy the beach and the water just like everyone else. And it has just become an extraordinary opportunity for not only our parents and handicapped, but everyone to utilize the mat to get down to the waterfront.
Very nice. You know, Mayor Dickert, I think you need a big sign on the freeway that says, "Welcome to Racine, North Beach, one of the best in the world," don't you?
Well, we would put as many signs out there as we could, but, you know, we like the fact that we're our little town and, excuse me, in that, you know, it's really a lot of people don't know. It's our little hidden gem here. But last year we had what we estimated is roughly around 200,000 people on our beach. And between the five major sporting events that we do down there, we think we're doing all right, but we'd always love to attract more.
Right. Well, it's interesting. Both of you have presented ideas that you think could just go all over the country. They're both terrific ideas. So part of this competition would be, let's learn from Green Bay and let's learn from Racine, right?
Well, I think the fact is, as is the mayor pointed out, you know, Racine, or it's not Racine, the cities are really the heartbeats of experimentation. You know, we can experiment so much faster oftentimes than anyone else can. And, you know, the state and federal governments really don't have the time to experiment right now, but we do. And you can see these great ideas coming from mayors because we really have little choice. We're getting less and less money every year. We have to do more. And candidly, our residents expect more from us. Mm-hmm. So we have to figure out ways to do things smarter, better, faster. And I think you're finding really the great ideas in this country are really coming from our mayors. And, you know, this is the first time I've heard about Jim's program. And I just think it's absolutely incredible. He's really put two very difficult problems together to create one great solution.
Yes. Did you have lots and lots of ideas and have to winnow them down, Mayor Schmidt? And where did all those ideas come from?
I'm pretty creative. It didn't take me long to come up with a number of ideas. And then we met as a staff and kind of whittled them down. I think what Mayor Dickert has done to open up public access for handicapped to get exercise, to enjoy nature is very important to do. And we talked about our whole trail system and connectivity, and that was an area we talked about. John's right when he talks about the ideas come from the cities. Another one of our ideas that we really came in second was we just called water everywhere. And I'm sure Mayor Dickert will tell you that Racine won for the best tasting water in the United States at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. So, I know, but we have pretty good water here in Green Bay too. And what we were going to do was. Really just upgrade our drinking water fountains. We have 63 parks here in Green Bay, are the ones with shelters and like the new water fountains that you see in airports that actually have a outline of a bottle so you can refill your bottle. We were going to put those in all our park systems and then give the kids in our community these water vessels that had a message on there to drink, you know, four a day. And really try to get them very comfortable with drinking water versus maybe a soft drink or a sugar drink.
Yes, good
have
idea.
Have it very accessible, close to the schools, and then put in these state-of-the-art water refill stations and combined with a drinking fountain. That was something else we liked. We also spent probably most of our time on education. I think we have a good superintendent of schools. They're working on it, but these test scores they're a little concerning to us as mayors because, I mean, that's your future. And so we looked at just a whole engagement government day. We have a kids day here in Green Bay where everything is free to kids, all municipal services, and really expanding on that to get kids educated with what is local government all about and really spending a day the fire department, police department, learning a lot more about the local government and how it works and how it can work for people, and dedicating a day for that was another one of the ideas that we discussed.
I love that water idea. That's really terrific. That should happen all over the place. Did you have other ideas that you wanted to go with, but you just had to go with one, Mayor Dickert?
Yeah, unfortunately, we had to whittle down to try to figure out what was actually going to be the most, not only innovative, but something that somebody could replicate. One of the ideas that we really wanted to put in, but we kind of assumed, because mayors are pretty creative, we kind of assumed that this one wouldn't be as innovative, but for Racine it was. One of the things that we do here in Racine is when we're redoing a major road, and I'll give you the example of 6th Street here, we do an all-in approach. And what that is our Department of Engineering has created this in tandem with all of our other departments, which is we go into a road, we do everything. So when you're going into a major redevelopment like 6th Street, and currently we're doing a roundabout in 7th Street here, everybody has to come in at the same time. So in other words, when we do a road, if you, for instance, in the past did a road and then the utilities came in 6 months later, you know, you hear people complain that, boy, didn't you just finish this road and now they're digging it up again? Well, to stop that, it takes a little extra time to do the scheduling, but what we said was, here's the deal. Whether you're AT&T Communications or the Water Sewer Department or Telecable or whatever it is, this is when we're doing this road, and this is when we're going to time you into doing your placement or repair or replacement of these different utilities. So everyone comes in so that when we finish the road, it's done. There's no redigging. There's no going back in. But more importantly, then we follow it up with the environmental side. So we do stormwater retention. We have bioswales here that our stormwater actually washes into a bioswale that naturally filters the water before it actually hits the stormwater. So by the time it gets to the stormwater, it's almost drinkable. Then we put in the LED lights. We put in brick pavers. We do all these things so that once we do a road, it's completely done. And in that way, it takes you a little bit more time. You may not get the number of lane miles that you hope for, but the reality is once you're done with the road, you're done with it hopefully for 20, 30, 40 years.
Well, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. How many ideas are going to be presented to the philanthropic organization? Hundreds?
Absolutely. I don't know. Jim, what have you heard? I've heard like up to 700 ideas.
Oh, my.
Yeah, there's what, 2,000 of us that are active in the U.S. Conference of Mayors. So, yeah, and I'm sure most people are going to submit ideas. I'm sure it'll be all of that.
But what will happen, even if you don't get the $5 million, is an idea is worth a lot of money, right? Just in itself, you can just follow some other people's ideas.
Or you can find someone else to fund it. You know,
right.
You know, Mayor Dickert's has some good ideas. We're going to read the ideas. You know, we'll... The ones that are submitted, I'm sure there's some really good ones out there.
I'm sure.
And, you know, we're probably going to pursue this regardless. I mean, our cost on this is obviously the food and the books and
right.
You know, the mentoring program we can do. And we do have a mentoring coordinator in there, so maybe we'd have to look for an intern or something. But, you know, and I, like I said, I think there's a lot of good ideas that will be out there. So I'm looking forward to seeing the 700 ideas and spending some time reading that.
Yeah, so am I. So our listeners will have to get a booklet together and distribute it. We'll put it on our Facebook page, won't we? Oh, this is really interesting. We're talking about the Mayor's Challenge this hour of the program. It's from Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York, and it's a competition awarding $5 million to the city that comes up with the most innovative and promising idea addressing government efficiency, citizen engagement, social or economic challenge. The mayors of Green Bay and Racine have told you what their proposals will be. It's a big competition. You got maybe 700 ideas, but people will learn from these ideas as well. So we welcome your phone calls. For those of you who live in those cities or in cities in the state of Wisconsin or beyond, maybe you, I'll bet you do, have some ideas that would make your city run better. And we would like to hear them. This will be a highly interesting and maybe important hour. Here's our phone number for you to join the conversation, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. You can post your idea to our Facebook page, Kathleen Dunn Show, or send an email, talk@wpr.org, or being up with the times, we should also add, you can tweet your idea to @KDunnShow. All right, we'll get rolling with you in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And in the spirit of Let's Read, we want to remind you that on September 26, we will be talking about the first selection in our Back to School Book Club. Join us for a conversation on Common Sense by Thomas Paine at 10 o'clock on September 26. Our guests are the mayors of Green Bay, Mayor John Schmidt, and the mayor of Racine, John Dickert. They have entered this mayor's challenge from Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York, and we're welcoming phone calls. 800-486-8655. Chris in Milwaukee is our first caller, gentlemen. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I've been working on this for a long time, but my circumstances don't let me get much farther than I've gotten. Maybe somebody else can pick up on this. I would start with a city block, and I'd like to go into the worst parts of the city, biggest bang for the buck. What I need is a block where everybody agrees to be in on this and to work together on this. If I get one, I know I'll get more. Start with insulating all the houses. Then you put renewables so that you have your heat and your electricity for free and enough left over for free transportation, or you can put that money in your pocket and ride your bike. Then you get composting toilets. You add gardens and hens, and you have yourself a lovely magic tortoise. You're not polluting the air anymore. You're not polluting the water. You're getting food. You're saving money, and the jobs are incredible in manufacturing, installing, maintaining, gardener farmers, people, instructors. I've talked to people. They said they've never heard it put together like I've put it together, and here I sit. All I can do is hope somebody else can hear it.
Thank you so much, Chris, for your call. Mayor Schmidt, what do you think?
Well, Chris, I think that's a great idea. I think all of us are working on homes that are much more energy efficient. Different areas of our cities where we work on that. And then we work on community gardens and, of course, being more sustainable with bike paths and encouraging people to use the vehicle less. To do one block like that, I think you have some opportunities in Milwaukee. And Mayor Barrett is very good to the environment and cares deeply about neighborhoods. So I think you might want to make an appointment to see him and see if he can't get someone on his staff to take the lead on this, because that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. And what about examples? Let's talk a little bit more. I don't know how many of the ideas you've seen on that list of 700 at least. Are either of you aware of initiatives that other cities have taken in Wisconsin or in Illinois or California or wherever that you would like to bring to Green Bay or to Racine, Mayor Dickert?
Well, you know, the funny part is when I first became mayor 3 years ago, the mayors, when I got to the U.S. Conference of Mayors, said, and I was kind of unused to this being a Catholic, they said, feel free to steal. And I kind of laughed about it, but the reality is it's true, because we as mayors all work together, and we really don't care at all about party line. We all work together to get things done. So we tend to, the first question I usually hear at a conference is, what are you doing? And everybody wants to know what each other is doing so that you don't replicate it exactly, But you take the ideas that you hear from other mayors and you try to absorb them into your neighbor, your community. I think this woman was actually right on. She's talking about what a lot of us are doing with urban gardens. We have a pastoral program that we're working on in the city of Racine where we go in and do energy efficiency work in housing. The president put out the NSP program for redeveloping houses in inner cities because of the problems that we're having with foreclosure industry.
Yes.
So I hope she feels confident about the fact that she is right on, and a lot of us are already doing what she's saying. We don't take it block by block because we have to do it in a much broader basis, but I hope she feels confident in the fact that a lot of us are doing what she's talking about, and you know, kudos to her.
And another thing that she brings to mind is citizen engagement in all of this. You both need the people of Green Bay and Racine to get behind your ideas to make them work.
There's just no question. I mean, Green Bay, that's what it is. You know, people who – the elected officers are important. They do approve the budget. They do have the power of the vote. But at the end of the day, the real change comes from the citizens, and it can be through the neighborhood associations, through the, you know, Friends of Bay Beach, Friends of the Wildlife Sanctuary, Sustainable Green Bay members. Those are the people that really the feet on the ground that can move the needle. The policy can be voted on, but to enact it has to come through the citizens. So anything you do that people can actually see, a community garden, if you tear down a dilapidated home, and let's say the city pays whatever it is, $15,000 to tear the house down, the community needs to come together and put that community garden in there and then teach people how to grow vegetables and then give them to the people who are more in need. Those are the things that it's the community that makes that change. And so any idea, and that's why I kind of like the one we're working on with this Read2Feed, is that there's a lot of community engagement in this.
Yes.
And that will make it, like I said, more sustainable and longer lasting.
Mark in Hatfield, hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for your show today.
You're welcome.
I'm kind of disappointed that Mayor Bloomberg hasn't extended this challenge to cities of smaller populations. It seems like, you know, the biggest city here in our county is Black River Falls, and we don't even have 30,000 people in the county. But there are some innovative things happening in the city of Black River Falls with green technology. A lot of, you know, positive things are happening. And I think that a smaller city doesn't have the problems of political gridlock, maybe, that would keep some of these ideas from coming to fruition because of competing political interests. So I guess I'd like to extend that challenge to the mayor of New York City to extend it to smaller communities.
Well, you can understand his emphasis on urban areas. He's the mayor of New York City, for heaven's sake. So, I don't know if he has enough money to extend it to everybody, but maybe another philanthropist could do what you've outlined. It's a very worthwhile idea.
Well, $5 million is really just a drop in the bucket,
right,
compared to some city budgets. And, you know, even our city has a pretty hefty budget for the size of the city. I guess the ideas are the things that are the most important, not
right.
Money.
Right.
Well, and I think that's, again, is Green Bay. I think that's important that the U.S. Conference of Mayors, I will say that is cities of over, is it 35,000, John?
30,
I think it is.
30,000.
So, I mean, and that's the conference, and we do share a lot of ideas, but I'm sure this document of these 700 ideas will be available to anyone. And I don't know that money, if it's a really good idea, you'll find the money. So I would encourage, you know, your mayor or city administrator to get a copy of these ideas once they're all published, and maybe you can enact that in your own local community.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I understand where the gentleman's coming from completely, but I think there are 1,800 cities in the country of 30,000 or more. So if you were to extend anybody under 30,000 in population, I think you would just get – it would be almost too big. I think what Mayor Bloomberg is trying to do here was to start initiating some new conversation around new ideas to jumpstart the economy and get cities going again. And I think that's really what he was doing. I don't think there was any real malice in trying to say that we're not talking with smaller communities.
Right.
Because obviously there's a lot of them around. There's a lot of great ideas coming out of them.
And thank you so much for the call. I, at the risk of making a terribly general statement after having just listened to you for a half hour, I'll make it anyhow. It's striking to me, Mayor Schmidt, you are a Republican. Mayor Dickert, you are a Democrat. You appreciate each other. You will follow through on some of the other person's ideas. I'm thinking maybe we just need to turn the country over to the mayors. What do you think?
We've been talking about that for quite some time.
I'll bet you have.
We haven't. I just, if I could just comment on this, Jim Schmidt. And one is I consider myself an independent. I always have and do. I think I do maybe socialize a little bit more and lean a little bit more towards the Republican side. But here, I want to pick up on what you said. We believe that as mayors, I mean, you're going to find a lot of mayors that may be the member of a party, but at the end of the day, it's the city. And we really believe that cities aren't the problems, that cities are the solutions. And people say, well, gee, you know, Green Bay, you know, a smaller city. But when we sit down with Mayor Bloomberg and Mayor Daley, John and I are both on committees. Their issues are the same. I mean, they have issues of unemployment. They have issues of crime. They have issues of homelessness. And it's just maybe a multiple. But the root of the problem is pretty much the same. And I think we're very good about whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent or East Coast or West Coast, of really rolling up our sleeves and looking at your community. I mean, we're the ones who pick up the garbage and, you know, people see us in the store and church and even with that stimulus plan, and I don't want to get into that, but I really thought they should have put a mayor in charge of the distribution of that money. I think that would have been better for this country. I think it was a decent idea, but poorly executed. And I think mayors, and I am one, and that's probably why I'm a little partial to them, but I really like the way they think. And I've been mayor here for 10 years now, and I've met a lot of other mayors, and I think they really are concerned about what is going on at the street level with the neighbors and the local businesses, and I think that's very healthy.
Mm. Mayor Dickert, do you worry that we don't hear enough about urban policy, urban planning issues, urban concerns from federal lawmakers and from people in various campaigns?
Well, I think there's some truth to that, but like Mayor Schmidt said, you know, when you look at between 90-94% of the GDP growth in this country is anticipated to come from metro areas in the cities. You know, we've always asked the question, and we continue to ask our legislators at the state and federal level, why they're not engaged more in what's happening with the mayors. You know, you've got a group of people here, like the mayor said, when it comes right down to it, we're on the ground. We're the guys who have to, men and women, who have to get the things done, and we can't pass the buck to anyone. But more importantly, we're also talking to our constituents every single day. And I think that's the thing that's missing in state and federal politics. And I've worked at all three levels quite extensively, actually. And if there's one thing that I love about the mayors and the mayor's group is they never talk politics. It's just always about solutions, trying to find out what you can do best.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that would resonate up the ladder. As a matter of fact, I've been kind of making that pitch a little bit more, is that a lot of these folks need to get home a little bit more and spend more time at home, because I think if they talk to their mayors, Jim's exactly right. The stimulus package went to the governors, and the governors, for the most part, utilized it to balance their budgets. They should have had a mayor in charge of that. You would have seen a much greater turnaround in the economy, because the money would have come right to the local levels.
Oh, that's a very interesting idea.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's, like Jim said, we have to get things done. We have no choice, and we have to report right to that citizen who we're going to see at the football game or at the grocery store. And as my daughter found out this morning when we went out for breakfast, you know, even people at breakfast want to know what's going on, and they want to ask you questions. And, you know, my daughter pulls on my arm and says, "Dad," you know, but that's our life. And I hope that folks learn a lesson from that.
Mike in Racine is calling in. Hi, Mike.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the program. I have a thought related to the health of both adults and children and the pollution in our communities. I think there ought to be a modest tax on drive-throughs of any kind that would go to park and rec commissions. Get people out of cars. Often you go into a McDonald's, there's fewer people in line inside than waiting in cars. And a very modest tax might encourage people to shut their engines off and walk in. Or if they want to stay in line, let's help our parks. Thank you.
Thank you. Who wants to take it?
Boy, I'll tell you, for a city who is quite indebted right now because of the some of the costs we've had go up with health care and the ETF fund from the state. You know, we're always looking for revenue to keep things open. We've had to shut down some parks this last year, and you know, anything that you can do to help get people back into you know, just what Jim is doing up in Green Bay, which is to get people active again. You know, we're doing some things like that around here with our bike paths and our mayor's challenge and things like that to get people active again. But, you know, one of the things that really concerned me was when there was cutbacks at the school district level. They cut back recess and gym. And, you know, if there's one thing that you don't want your energetic kids to not have a chance to go get some of that energy out. So anything that we can do to get people back into nature, eating good foods and doing things like that that we're already doing with urban gardens and things would be beneficial, I think.
And his idea on this isn't the right climate to increase taxes or put on taxes. I think we'd like to spend a little bit more money on education. I think he makes a really good point about how waiting in line at a drive-through is there's a lot of stuff wrong with that. One is I'm not sure you should be in the drive-through to begin with. But just to park your car and walk and get something healthy. We had talked one time about I don't really want to call it a sin tax, but just on foods that aren't real healthy of a tax there to put into education. But like I said, I don't know that that's the answer. I think people aren't real have a much of an appetite for tax increases right now. But I think education and talking about it, and he can tell his friends that that's a good idea he had, is to park your car, walk in. It's good for the environment and also gets you out of the car and you're walking a little bit.
Our phone number, we have some lines open. They've been pretty busy. Thanks, Mike, for your call. Is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And our guests this hour are Mayor Jim Schmidt of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Mayor John Dickert of Racine, Wisconsin, home to one of the most beautiful beaches in the whole wide world. We're talking this hour about this very interesting challenge. It's September 14th was the deadline for the Mayor's Challenge, a contest sponsored by Michael Bloomberg, Mayor of New York, his philanthropic foundation, and hundreds of cities all over the country will enter the competition, including the cities of Green Bay and Racine. $5 million will be awarded to the application that most demonstrates a novel and visionary approach to a challenge faced by cities. And we're talking about those and hearing many of those novel ideas this hour, as well as the one submitted from Green Bay and Racine. They are novel as well, what they entered for this competition. So feel free to give us your ideas as well. We'd love to hear from you. We want to talk a little bit about transportation, and we have a tweet, our first tweet, coming up in a moment that addresses that. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this hour, Jeffrey Toobin, his latest book is The Oath, the Obama White House, and the Supreme Court. Our number is 800-486-8655, and our email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Let's hear your ideas about how we make cities work. Let's talk about public transportation for a moment. Mayor Dickert, let's start with you. Here's a tweet from Sean. I can't believe 100 years ago, Fond du Lac had a trolley system. Public transportation in our cities is poor and not unique. I'd like for both of you to respond to public transportation, and then let's look at transportation between cities. Racine, Chicago particularly. What about within your city?
Well, the transportation network, when you think about it, and just like this gentleman said, the focus since the 50s has been on roads. And when you think about the fact that we built 40,000 lane miles when we did the I system, and now we do 22,000 new lane miles per year, we're going in the wrong direction. The mayors are looking at this right now in a group that Jim and I sit on, called the Urban Alliance. We're trying to look at the five different regions around Wisconsin to try to assess what is the most important need for efficient transportation systems, not just one thing or another, but the entire system. What's the most efficient way to move people, products, and services, and then try to bring that back to the state. You know, they had the problem in the last year or two where they're going about over these RTAs, And instead of looking at it from a, you know, a 10,000-foot view and saying, what's the real need to allow us to compete on a global basis for jobs, they were always putting their, you know, their pointer on one issue or another. So what our needs are here are going to be different than Mayor Schmitz up in Green Bay or Madison. But right now what we have is we have less and less funding coming into our busing system. We're cutting back on buses because of it. There's a 5-to-1 match for buses, so every time we lose a dollar, we lose an additional $4. But really what is interesting is I thought the complaints would come from residents about the fact that we're cutting buses. And the reality is the complaints are coming from the business community who are saying, listen, we need those buses out here taking our workers out here. So what we're trying to do as mayors is to take a step back, look at this from a 10,000-foot view and saying, okay, what are the real needs? And then taking these items to the state and saying, listen, we can create efficiencies, we can make a better system, and we think we can probably do it with the same amount of money.
Mayor Schmidt, how about transportation in Green Bay?
Yeah, that's a priority for us. And we own our own transit system here, Green Bay Metro, and we spend about $7 million on that. And it serves not just the city, but some of the surrounding suburbs. In 36 buses, we've gone to much more energy efficient buses in the last, you know, over the last 8-10 years. It's mass transit. It's not a taxi service. It's not a limousine service. So you have to really study your area and see where do people move and in groups. We feel very good about transit. Our ridership is up. I think gas prices had a little bit to do with that, but I think we've made it much easier with the red line, the green line, the blue line, instead of these crazy routes we used to have. We have a new director in here who's really grabbed the bull by the horns. We have Green Saturdays now where transit is free so people can experience transit. It does take people from our industrial parks to where we have maybe some more rentals. So we put that match together. Of course, we got the healthcare that's very strong here. And then, you know, we use it for, you know, we have four routes on the Packer Day for Packer games. It also goes out to our amusement park. So I feel good about transit. I think the federal government and the state, you know, everybody's talks about this high-speed rail, and I get that, but buses are awesome because, you know, if they need to turn the corner, they can, whereas, you know, high-speed rail, I don't know that or these, and I know that guy had mentioned he likes the trolley system. Buses are great, and if you can get them on the right fuel and the most efficient routes, people will use buses. We have friendly drivers. You get the newspaper on there. We're looking at doing a deal with Starbucks where it's free coffee in the mornings, and I think that can, it's education, but it's a good way to get around our city.
Mm-hmm. And Mayor Dickert, what about transportation between Racine and Milwaukee, Racine and Chicago?
Well, actually, unfortunately, it's not very good or not very consistent. The only transit that we have commuter rail-wise is down in Kenosha, and we actually have companies that run buses down to pick up people at the Kenosha rail line. So we've been trying to get Metro expanded up through our area because it's not only great for us for tourism, but it'd be great to connect Milwaukee to Chicago. The buses we had when Bucyrus was looking at expanding a couple of years ago, we don't have one consecutive bus service that runs up even past major companies like Bucyrus. So we had steel workers down here. If they didn't have a car, they couldn't even apply for a job up there. And this is really part of the reason that we really wanted to drive this, you know, a broader view of what's going on in regions, because the answers are not as simple as high-speed rail or commuter rail or more bus service or more roads. You really have to look at it as a region and determine what's the best way to move people and product as a region. You know, the majority of the people that come into Racine are not from Milwaukee. They're from Chicago. And so most of our tourism actually comes up from the south.
Hmm.
So we evaluate things. Jim, like Jim has, I just got a new transit director, and he's been doing a magnificent job with our system with a lot less money. And we're really proud of the work that he's doing. But, you know, we have to look at the future. The metro economy in this area is going to be based around the southern end of the Great Lakes. I think from Green Bay all the way down to Chicago, all the way up to Detroit. That's the metro region that I think people are going to start working in. And I think just like in the 1950s, we have to set up a transportation network that accommodates that.
Let's go to Ben in Madison. Hi, Ben.
Good morning, folks.
Hi.
So just a brief question slash comment. I'm wondering what some of the low-hanging fruit is in terms of public health. Things that come to mind here in Madison, since I bike a lot, would be giving away or subsidizing helmets and lights. It's odd that I have to nudge and cajole and persuade my adult friends to wear them and put lights on their bikes, but it remains something that people leave out. And I'm wondering if you just do really simple math and weigh that against the cost of treating people when they get into accidents, if that works out. Another idea might be just to simply pay for, like, Safe Ride for cabs for inebriated college students and other folks at 1 and 2 in the morning. Some folks will object to that and say, you should have been responsible, you should have set that up ahead of time. But from a strictly public health perspective, I wonder if things like that make sense in terms of headache, heartache, and injury or death saved, but also just in terms of cost to the public in addressing these problems.
Mayor Dicker, you want to start?
Sure. Our Tavern League, actually, and I think this is what the gentleman, I think, is talking about really is the public-private partnerships that we do here a lot of in Racine, and I think Jim does a lot of in Green Bay, which is we've worked with the Tavern League here, and I think they initiated this program where each tavern in Racine gives a certain amount of money, and if they find somebody that they don't think should be driving, they actually call them a cab. The beauty is then they actually take them back to their car the next day. So it's a great way of saying, listen, we care about you, we want you to get home safe, and we'll bring you back the next day. So don't worry about whether your car is sitting there or not. And that's something that was a partnership between us, the Tavern League, and our folks here locally. The other thing that he's talking about, I think, is also another opportunity for a public-private partnership. But I think the key is, in Madison, they've got a great system for bikes. What we're doing here in Racine is that we're actually going after a granting program to implement a master bike plan for the city, which then would become part of our day-to-day operations as we work on roads and things like that. We don't have as great a bike system in Racine as you do in Madison and some other cities. So we're working on that, and we're going to try to do it together with the public and the private side. But candidly, I don't have the money to give out free helmets and free lights right now.
Right.
I'd love to, but I just don't have that kind of money.
How about the bike system in Green Bay? Is it good?
We have someone in City Hall this is his passion, and we just put in the Cheryl lanes throughout the city. There was some grant funding available. Yeah, we really encourage biking in the city. All our new roads have bike lanes in, and like I said, we've taken some of the existing roads, especially in the downtown, and added bike lanes to that. And we've also enhanced, we've got some very decorative kind of funky bike racks that we put in, and we want people to utilize that. Wherever we have a parking ramp, public parking for vehicles, we've put bike ramps in all of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things. I think he's right about the public health, and I think helmets are critical. We have a hospital here in Green Bay that really partnered with a law firm, believe it or not, to give kids free helmets. And we had the helmet fitting day, and I participated in that. A whole bunch of Packers did. I think that's good. Something else on a public health is water. I mean, you worry about a kid drowning. And we've done quite a bit here because, of course, we're right on the bay of Green Bay at Fox River and out to Lake Michigan. And just education on life vests, free life vests for kids, just to make sure that, I don't know how much those cost, but, I mean, my gosh, that's definitely worth the investment. And then we continue to work on, I think a public health thing is smoking as well. And I don't know if you want to get into that, but I still think we have some work to do. We just banned smoking on City Hall campus last week.
Oh, really?
And look, not everybody likes it, but I do think it's a public health issue, and that's the way it is.
Right, that's the way it is. Ben, thanks for the call. Steve in Madison. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I grew up in Racine in the 50s and the 60s, and I remember the North Shore Line as an electric train that used to run, I believe, from Milwaukee, but definitely from Racine down to Chicago. It was very cheap. It was electric. And I remember even in junior high and high school taking it down to do Christmas shopping in Chicago and coming back, the same day. And it was really convenient. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I really do think trains are should become an important part of our intercity and even interstate transportation for people.
Mayor Dickert.
Well, I have the North Shore Station. This gentleman will be happy to hear that the North Shore Station has just gotten a major renovation. It is all ready for a train. We are working on some opportunities in that area. And here's the funny part about it, though, is that it's not government that is driving the train expansion and opportunities. It's actually the private sector. And the private sector is doing it because of the incredible opportunity for development. And as someone who came from real estate, you know, we're looking at it around our train station. If we were able to get a train there, we could look at anywhere from $40 to $100 million in development. Well, that's, you know, that's between $880,000 to about $2 million in additional tax revenue for me per year. So we're working hard to make this happen. I've heard stories, and I do remember a little bit about the train. I'm not that old, but I remember a little bit about the train. And, you know, it really was a part of the heartbeat of our system. But like I said, it's really important that you look at this from a broader view and try to find out not only what future generations want to do and how they're moving around, but also, you know, what you need to do to be able to compete.
Let me ask both of you about a big item in the news, and I'm interested in where you go as a result of this. The decision on Friday by the Dane County Circuit Judge to rule most of Act 10 unconstitutional. And for those who don't know, the law ended collective bargaining for public sector workers in Wisconsin for everything except a cost of living adjustment. Although this new decision does throw out Act 10 for city, county, and school workers, this is going to be appealed, of course. But I'm wondering, gentlemen, what this means for both of you right now with your contracts with city workers. Are we clear about that or not? Mayor Schmidt?
Well, we negotiated agreements with our labor prior to Act 10 taking in effect. So our agreements are independent of Act 10, although we knew it was coming. The agreements weren't contingent upon Act 10's effectiveness. Police and fire were exempt, and we're still working on that. Look, this is going to be appealed. This is going to take years to fight its way through the court system. I think if the workers and the management can really come together and say what's best for the city, that's what you have to agree on. And we respect the labor that we have here. And like I said, we've come with an agreement that goes now through the end of next year. So, I got quite a few calls from the press this week, and it's really not an issue with us. We're going to still focus on what's best for the workers and the taxpayers, and that's the agreement we've come up with. So this judge's opinion, I think it's going to affect some areas, some friends of mine, a little bit more than the city of Green Bay, but nonetheless, something we're watching and we'll be aware of.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Mayor Dickert?
Well, I think the mayor is absolutely right that this is going to be, I think, going back and forth in the legal challenges for quite some time. Here's where we're at in the city of Racine. We had obviously our agreements, police and fire were left out. What we've done is we've gone back because between our health care costs increases, the ETF costs that came down from the state, and just your normal increases in fuel and other things that you pay for as a city, we've got a pretty good chunk that we're going to have to work with our folks on. Here's what we're doing, because the demonizing of people back and forth does us no good at all. So what we're doing is we're sitting down with our folks and we're talking about, listen, we're $3 million in debt. We've got to resolve this, otherwise we're going to have to lay off employees. And here's the problem with that. Under Act 32, if we lay off employees, and the fact that the state government has said you can never increase taxes, you'll never get them back. And that means a service cut to our people forever. And I don't want to do that. So we're going out and talking to our folks, and we're going to have a conversation about, we'd like to keep the services around. We obviously want to keep our employees around. So how do we work through this scenario and do everything that we can to do that? Because, like Jim and I have been talking about all day, our job here is not to demonize and throw, stones back and forth. Our job is to run our cities as efficiently and effectively as we can. And I think we can work with our local groups to do that. And I think we will, because they're good people and we need them.
Mm-hmm. Will, all the best. When will you find out if you won?
I'm waiting for the phone to ring.
You think it's coming this afternoon, huh?
Yeah, I hope it is. I'm looking at caller ID with a, what is it, a 212 area code? What do they have out there?
Oh, it's too bad it didn't happen during the last hour, right?
Oh, that would have been awesome. I turned my phone off out of respect for you. I should have left
you.
It out. Maybe it's there.
Thank you. Well, this has just been such an interesting hour. Thank you both. It was a pleasure to meet you, and all the best to your cities and all the best in the competition. And what can I say? Let's stay in touch, huh?
Thank you so much, Kathleen.
Bye. Our guest, Mayor Jim Schmidt, mayor of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Mayor John Dickert, who's mayor of Racine. We will post on our Facebook page, and we'll do a show. This was really interesting. Let's do a show on the winners here and go beyond the state of Wisconsin to learn about some great ideas from other places in the country at some point. That would be fun, wouldn't it? I think it would be. Well, that was interesting. Thanks very much to Brett Jaspers and Rhonda Fanning, who produced this program. Thanks for your calls and our first tweet, too. I got to get into that. I read tweets, but I don't tweet. But Brett and Rhonda tweet, so we'll have to learn how to do that. Thanks for that. We'll be with you tomorrow. Great conversations ahead. Stay with us.